Welcome back to Yahoo Finance's and Decrypt special presentation of Crypto Goes Mainstream. I'm Zach Guzman here, joined now by a guest that has been in the crypto space for quite some time. That would be the CEO and founder of Blockchain.com, Peter Smith. And Peter, excited to chat with you today because, you know, you've operated in this space for a bit. Not a lot of people have been around or can say that their companies been around in crypto for a decade, but that is what Blockchain.com celebrated earlier this year. And I guess we'll start with kind of how you've built the business to do multiple different things. I think a lot of people know you as the original kind of blockchain explorer, and that's how you guys got your start, but added a lot more over the years since. Talk to me about how you've navigated that and what you've seen over those years in terms of what customers are looking for.
Yeah, so I think we've always kind of viewed our role to make it easier to use Bitcoin and then later, you know, all the cryptocurrencies that came after Bitcoin. And, you know, it started early on by building data products that made it easy for people to figure out what was going on in crypto. Like, what is it? When did a transaction happen? How many transactions happened yesterday? A pretty simple product, but really useful. And we went from there to building consumer products. And in the last 2.5 years, we've built a lot of institutional product as institutions have moved into the market. And so today it's, you know, it's a big business. It spans consumer and institutional and, you know, asset management, but really just has this very simple idea at the heart of it, which is, you know, what do customers need to be involved in the cryptocurrency market? And that's been a vision that's kept us going for, like you said, 10 years now, which kind of makes me a grandpa at this point.
A grandpa in crypto, there's not a lot of them. I don't know if 10 years really classifies as a grandpa, but we'll let that one, we'll go with that.
One crypto year is like, five regular years. It's like 50 years now.
Great grandpa, really. After this year, great grandpa, maybe. But when we look at, you know, what you've been able to do over that, you guys announced that you hit $1.5 billion in terms of revenue year to date. And as I said, you do a lot of different things. So, I mean, I guess in terms of where you've seen the most growth in what you've now rolled out, what are you seeing there?
Look, I think the consumer business has grown really rapidly this year. So, you know, that's been great. The thing about that business is, though, is it's huge, right? There are tens of millions of people all over the world using those products. And so, you know, every additional million you add is just smaller, right? Because you're growing off a really big baseline. So in an aggregate basis, consumers definitely grow the most. On a percentage basis, institutional has definitely been the fastest growing business that we've ever built. And obviously coming off a lower baseline because it's much younger than the consumer business. But today it accounts for about 50% of all of our revenue as a group. And that business has just really grown incredibly quickly, about 50% month over month, which is really, you know, quite phenomenal if you think about it.
Oh, you've added more and more things. A few weeks ago, you added margin trading, though not here in the U.S. And that's one aspect of what we've seen. Some companies being able to offer some things farther along outside of the U.S. than what they can do here. I mean, impacting our regulations in regards to growth and maybe the different routes there that blockchain.com has had to go versus some other companies in crypto, and maybe some of the pitfalls that you might be pointing out as warning signs for some of those companies that aren't maybe following as strict a path when it comes to regulation.
Yeah, so look, we hold licenses around the world. So we're an onshore regulated company. You know, as Sam was talking in your last interview, I caught the end of it about the volume in the offshore markets. In the long term, I think almost all of the legitimate volume in the crypto space will be onshore. And we're here to build a business that's here in 2030. And so from day one, we've built onshore. This takes longer. You know, it takes longer for Coinbase or us to roll out a new asset or a new feature than some other companies. And we have to be, you know, probably more limited in what products we roll out in some jurisdictions that have stricter rules for the cryptocurrency markets. But I think in the long term, it's how you protect customers. It's also how you work with the regulator and cooperate by being, you know, in good faith with them. And so we're very committed to that onshore path. You know, it results in a lot of trade-offs. You know, we can't just go out and add Shiba tomorrow or put 100x leverage on. But I think at the end of the day, it kind of depends on what you're here for. Are you here to extract as much value from the crypto market over the next 3 years? Are you here to build a business that's here in 2030, that's here in 2050? You know, are you on a 5-year vision or a 50-year vision? And for me personally, I wanted to be here for a 50-year vision.
Yeah. I mean, I guess that is kind of a key piece of it, right? We were talking earlier with Robinhood here at the event about their kind of path forward and really tapping into some of those that clearly a lot of retail investors want to trade. And you mentioned Shiba. I wonder kind of what you look like or what you look at there in terms of the trade-offs between some potential risks, whether it be security, regulatory, and also the upside to kind of bring more people to the platform.
Well, this is where long-term, short-term comes in, right? If you list something and it immediately skyrockets and then immediately, you know, within a year it falls back to earth, you're probably actually not going to have attracted customers that trust you for a long-term relationship with you, because they're going to lose a lot of money in that process. It's the same reason that, you know, offshore platforms that offer a lot of leverage or very leverage or perpetual driven spend a ton of money on marketing. It's that they're churning customers. Customers come in, they take risk on a lot of high risk assets, and then, or pairs and products, and then they get wiped out. And so you're constantly having to acquire new customers to replace the ones that you just killed. That's not how our business works. Our business is predicated around the idea that we want to be your, you know, trusted partner in the cryptocurrency space for the next 30, 40, 50 years. And so we're here to offer products that generate value for customers in the long term, even if that's at the expense of short-term revenue or short-term growth. And at the end of the day, I think we've done okay on growth in terms of revenue and you know, top line numbers. You know, we've got, you know, 30 something million customers around the world and doing about one in every three Bitcoin transactions today.
When you look at maybe where things head next year, obviously 2021 has been a banner year for a lot of crypto investors. It's been hard to lose money if you've held anything basically this year. When you look ahead to next year and kind of the interest now shifting from maybe retail excitement over to institutional, we were just talking earlier in the program about that and how important it is for some of the price action. I mean, what do you see shaping up there as institutions look past maybe just Bitcoin into some of these other projects?
Yeah, we're already having institutions look past even Ethereum. So we're seeing volume and flow that's outside Ethereum and Bitcoin in our institutional business today, which is really kind of interesting, and it happened a lot faster than we thought it would. That is going to impact prices. I think you're right. It's very hard to have lost money in crypto over the last year. Some people have managed to do it, but it's quite hard. And so we're going to get into a harder, more competitive environment, I think, over the next year. And that's actually going to be net good for the market, because it's going to start separating the good from the bad. Right now, everything's trading very correlated. So you have just excitement in the space, and that's trading up. You know, there might be slight divergences between this asset and that asset on any given day, but everything is generally trading up. I think next year you're going to start to see, you know, the market really kind of narrow in on what projects are really delivering, what projects are really growing from an actual usage perspective rather than just an investment perspective. What's just a momentum machine, and what's real value that has real technical value? And I think that's the evolution in the market you're going to see next year, is sort of a breakup in the correlation of this asset class.
And we've seen a bit of that bifurcation, I guess, this year too, amongst some correlations breaking down. Some days you'll have Bitcoin down, and a lot of these other projects, if they have good things to talk about, still enjoy some gains. But when we look at, I guess, some of the risks, it sounds like, you know, I'm not sure if I completely agree on you being the granddad of crypto, but when we look into maybe you taking a more cautious approach than what some others might be, I mean, when you look at the risks now in 2022, a lot of people talking about some of those potentially, you know, bringing down not just the bull market, but I guess raising new questions about if the crypto space, maybe particularly in the centralized lending space, could be repeating a lot of the same mistakes that banks made in past cycles when you shifted from a bull market to a pretty big collapse. I mean, what's raising your flags now when you look at some of the systemic risks in crypto?
Look, I tell people all the time that you don't really know what a crypto company is made of until they go through three cycles, preferably one, you know, down, one up, and one down. It's really easy to do well when the market's, you know, pounding upward. It's hard when the market's pounded upward and then pounds down. That's the real moment, the real test. And there's very few companies in crypto today that are at scale that have ever been through that before. You know, Coinbase has been through it. You know, Kraken's been through it. We've been through it. But outside of that, it's very few that have. And so I think we're going to see that. And that's going to be the moment where the water goes out, the tide goes out, and we all see who's wearing shorts and who isn't. And I think the challenge with the lending markets in regards to that specifically is that some of these companies have reached a size in the lending book that's really scale. It has enough scale to hurt the overall crypto market, but they haven't been through that moment of truth from a do our risk management frameworks work perspective. And so that's what I worry about the most is there's no way of knowing, have they stress tested? Are they running sophisticated simulations? Are they monitoring ALM appropriately? You know, we just don't know. And so we're going to have to wait and find out. But if there's one thing that being crypto for a long time taught me, it's like this market goes up and this market goes down.
Yeah, well, I guess what's the solution to prevent against that? I mean, is it more transparency? That's why I think a lot of people still are leaning hard into DeFi and what that offers over some of these central lending platforms. I mean, as you see it, maybe the answer is what a lot of people have feared before, more regulation. I mean, what is the answer there to prevent something like that?
If regulation was the answer, you wouldn't have seen banks fail, you know, in the GFC. They were very regulated. I think at the end of the day, the free market corrects for this. The market rewards companies that are run well, and the market punishes companies that are run poorly. DeFi protocols, though, struggle with the same risk. Like, you've seen DeFi protocols blow out when the market moves very hard. And most of the DeFi protocols are new as well. We don't know what, you know, first order and second order impacts we're going to have when the market retraces seriously some of these lending protocols in DeFi either. They are open and transparent, but a lot of them really lack the research and modeling that you would expect to see in a sophisticated credit product.
Yeah, and as you said, a lot of them not necessarily have gone through the same three up and down cycles that you're looking to see what some of these projects or companies can weather. But Peter Smith, the founder of Blockchain.com, arguably Crypto Grandpa. We'll see if our viewers agree with that. But appreciate you joining us here on Crypto Goes Mainstream. Thanks again for the time.